You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures, and it's now time for All Aboard for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. And this morning, we have none other than Lee Rayner. Morning, Lee.
Morning, mate. How are you going?
Going very well, mate. Not as good as you, because you've just got back from a cracking trip up north, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, but you've been up chasing the Barra, so I want you to take us through where you were, what you did, all the in-betweens, but more importantly, just the fact that how remote you were and not having phones, but how do you actually plan organising a trip like that? I guess a bit of safety, sort of all the elements that come into organising a remote Barra fishing trip up north in, I guess, the terrain that Australia offers you, with especially with the heat and everything that comes along with it as well.
Yeah, well, look, I'll be honest. Luckily, I've got a very good friend up there, Jez Johnson. He's local to Darwin, and he's done a lot of this over the years. And the logistics of doing these trips are, they're pretty full on. I did the runoff trip with him, and we went to the Roper River, and this trip was the build-up trip. So we camped this time on land, and like we even had to get special tents. So we got the OzTent RV5s because they're fully waterproof, but also the internal structure of the tent means you cop some horrendous storms and wind being in the build-up. And one day, Aaron, it was blowing 35 knots, and we were camped 2 kilometres inland away from the water, so you don't get the sandflies and the mozzies, and but also the storms hit hard on the water. Yep. As we've come out of the ramp, there's camps that were within a couple of hundred metres of the ramp, and their tents were just obliterated.
From wind?
From the wind.
Yeah.
So we got back to our camp. There were a couple of other groups camping near us, and we were fine. The other boys had a bit of stuff blown around. But, you know, like just water, you know, water and food and fuel. Like, so where we went, the nearest service station for fuel is 5 hours.
Yep.
So not only do you have to think about the car, but you have to think, the boat, you have to think about the car. So there's a lot that goes into it. You've got to double, triple check everything. Jez had a sat phone. I had a Garmin InReach. You know, you, safety is priority because of where you are, because everything wants to kill you and eat you up there. but it's the remoteness that makes it so cool. Like, I just love it. Like, if you said, oh, you can go and stay at this resort and fish each day and do all that, or you can camp remotely in a remote location, I'd take the camping. I just love it. So, you know, you're washing yourself with bottles of, you know, 500ml water bottles each day. That's how you do it.
So when you say remote, like you're remote, like there's no one around, nothing really, just you guys pretty much, and then the odd person you pass.
Yeah, there's other dudes that are doing the same thing.
Yep.
You know, but even to the point where we were able to camp for the weekend, Tuesday night, went Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We came home Saturday. We were able to stay longer than a lot of other guys are, because even to the point, Jez brings 2 generators, so one for each tent, and he brings 2 little air conditioning units.
Oh, yeah.
So overnight, you're running an aircon unit pumping 22-degree air into your tent because it's bloody hot.
Yeah, right. Is it real hot and humid?
Well, this time of year, it's humid because you've got the build-up, so you've got these big storms.
Yeah.
You know, like we had a couple of lightning storms around us. None of them hit us, but I put a video up on my Instagram the other day of this one storm, and in 30 seconds, mate, there's got to be 50 lightning bolts in this one storm.
I did see
and
that, yeah.
Like, Jez was telling me last year they had a storm that was over Darwin, and it was that bad, they had 99,000 lightning strikes in an hour.
Fires?
Oh, there's fires everywhere.
Yeah.
Then it'll rain, put them out. But it's a bizarre place, man. Like, you're driving along. We left Darwin at 5:30 in the afternoon on Monday afternoon, and we drove into our campsite at 5:30 on Tuesday morning. It was getting light, but you're driving along through the night down this dirt goat's track, getting the crap shaken out of you, and you're driving along, and there's just fires smouldering on the side of the road. And I said to Jez, it's so funny. If that was in Victoria or in New South Wales, you'd be straight on the phone, and everyone would be freaking out, and for good reason. But there, it's just different because everything burns so much, you don't get these wildfires. Because everything just gets burnt and then it catches fire again. There's no growth on the ground. Everything just smoulders away.
It's a lot smaller terrain as well, isn't it? Like, it's a lot, the bushland's a bit smaller as well, isn't it? It's not like, driving to Eden or something.
Yeah, it's not huge gum trees and, three foot of leaves on the ground. It's just everything just sits there smouldering away and smoking away, and there's little glowy fires going everywhere and just going, there's another fire, and there's another fire. And they don't even, the boys don't even look sideways, like, oh cool, fire. And they're like, huh, what? Oh, yeah, whatever.
Just like potholes.
Mate, on the way out, we copped us, like, we were packing up to leave, and that last morning on the Saturday, we were like, Jez is like, it's going to happen today. He goes, the wet is here. He goes, it's going to happen. The sky was just different. And when we were packing up, it was windy and these big storms were just like getting real close. We got about maybe 10, 20 Ks down the road and the rain just let go. And we had, Jez said it would have been 100 mil of rain in 20 minutes.
Yeah, Jesus.
Like, it was insane. And it turned our dirt road into an absolute mud pit.
Yep.
One of the boys that we know that was camping, he was about a kilometre in front of us. We come around a corner, and he's just completely slid off the road.
Oh, geez, yeah.
But then they just, we all get out, and everyone's wandering around barefoot in mud that's up past your ankles.
Helping each other.
And everyone's like, anyway, let's suppose they're all standing around talking, just having a chat. I'm like, are we going to get him out or what? And they're like, oh, yeah, I suppose. that's just how they live now, and it's a great lifestyle. It's such a great lifestyle.
It would be nice being nice and cruisy, but something that wasn't cruisy is because the fishing was red hot. You had some bloody good sessions on the Barra.
Oh, we did, mate. And a lot of local knowledge goes into that. I don't profess for a second that I know what I'm doing. It's such big water. But, we were chasing bigger fish. So we probably got 60 fish in 4 days.
Yep.
But our average fish was 80 centimetres, which that's a really nice fish. But we got a bunch of anywhere between 80 and 95. We got we got a 99, a 1 meter, a 101, and then I got a 113 on the car.
It's like, a big fish.
It is probably in my top five most memorable fish. Like, I love any fish, Aaron, as you do. I love big fish. That thing had me shaking like my first daytime sword.
Did it jump, literally carry on? Did it do everything?
Mate, he ate the lure and I saw him eat the plastic and roll in the water. I'm like, oh, it's a big one. And then it bolted and it did a 30-metre run to the middle of the river. And I know it was 30 metres because I watched three colours of braid disappear off the reel.
Yep.
And as soon as it started going to the middle of the river, Jez is like, that's a big fish. He goes straight up, that's well over a metre. He goes, in the roper, every time you hook a big one, they go to the middle.
Yeah, okay.
And so we were chasing this thing on the electric, and the funny part of it is, like, I'm camera's rolling and I've got all that going. And I'm like, Jez, like, I hope I don't stuff it up on the net, because I lost a big one in the runoff when he netted it. It literally jumped out of the net. And I'm like, Jez, it doesn't matter, mate. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a fish. If it gets off, it doesn't matter. We'll get another one. And then it jumped, as I said, at about 10 foot from the boat. And I'm like, nah, I want that fish. I want that fish. Go and get that fish. So we just chased this thing down with the electric and we got it. And, mate, I was genuinely so excited, and that fish alone made my trip.
Now, many techniques to chase barramundi. Before we let you go, what was your best technique up there?
Two techniques. One was slow rolling plastic. Bite Me Plastics killed it. Like, this, they're a Darwin brand, and they're unbelievable, and everybody up there is throwing them.
Yep.
They're a longer, skinnier profile with this little boot tail. They've got a really tight shimmy, and you don't hop on barra and all that. You just cast out and you just slow wind, maybe with a pause, just more like a cod retrieve.
Yep, yep.
And then the Jackal Squirrel, which is a diver, 79, and the 115 Squirrel, which is just this, again, it's height shimmy lure. It doesn't have a big body roll, doesn't, it's just a real bait fish profile. But 90% of our fish, mate, were caught on plastics. And the trick is a plastic, have you seen those jig heads where you've got the loop on the bottom that you can put a split ring and then you put a treble on it, the stinger treble, that will take your hookup rate from about 40 to 50% on a plastic up to about 90.
Having a stinger hook on the back.
Yeah, the stinger hook is so important.
Yeah. Now, there's fishing with the locals, obviously the best way to go when you do to go to these remote places, especially, number one, safety. But, of course, the reason you're going there is to catch fish, and it sounds like you had an absolute cracking time. Thank you very much, Lee. Yep. for joining us on Real Adventures this morning. That was All Aboard for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other.